but splash pad, dump bucket, slides. This is going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when we decided to go with something of that size and scope, we took a look at what do they have in Davenport and Dubuque, what do they have in Clinton, what do they have in Cedar Rapids, and what we're building is something they frankly don't have. And I know we've talked before, I was kind of the dad who loved to take the kids around. And being down in Florida for 6 years, we hit just about every water park, and if there was water, we were in it. Well, I can tell you, when you have young kids, it's hard to just enjoy because you're worried about something bad happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of a splash pad. When you're a young parent and you've got young kids, you don't have standing water. So you don't have that fear that something bad could happen to them other than, you know, slipping and falling, which could happen anywhere. So I think it's going to be very appealing for younger families. I anticipate the middle schoolers after school coming over and playing in it. People ask, well, you know, when does it open? Well, you can open it as early as you open your restrooms. So technically in this city, we open up restrooms in April. We keep them open until October. So as long as we're not going to have a ground freeze, you know, where the lines would freeze, we could have it open. Water only comes up when you push the button. You push the button, it goes for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever we program it to. And kids can play and have fun. And it is recirculated water. So, you know, the water that comes up then gets recirculated and comes back up. So we have to maintain that water. But it's a much more cost-effective way to do it. It's a lot more eco-friendly. We will have a small restroom facility there. I anticipate kind of two setups and one shower. So two setups, sink, toilet type setup. So very, very basic, but something that would meet the need. We're not trying to get extravagant when it comes to things like that, because people certainly aren't going there for the restrooms or going there for the fun. And
It's functional, comfortable, but, you know, at least in terms of the restrooms and everything, but you're there for the splash pad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So to date, we've raised a little over $2.9 million towards our $3.1 million goal.
And I would say a hop and a skip, and you're right there.
Yep. We need a little bit more help. We have engaged the architect. We're going to meet with them on Friday. So we'll start kind of putting that plan together. Well, I shouldn't say putting it together. We've got it down on paper. It's then a matter of figuring out how does it lay out exactly on the property and where do our water lines come in, and kind of give us a better picture of exactly what's needed. So they're going to start working on the bid specs. We're hoping here in March council can look at it and approve it, and then we can take that out to bid. Could even start construction here in 2026. You know, it's a possibility. I would say it's an outside shot that this fall we would have it up and going. I think more realistic would be spring of 2027, but we'll see how things progress.
Yeah. I know, and one thing that you kind of mentioned there at the beginning that kind of caught my attention was that you were looking at, you know, pools and splash pads kind of around the area, different cities and different towns and everything. And you said that it's, you know, building something unique, different than those. So it's not just, you know, kind of looking around, seeing what other people are doing, and it's just kind of a patchwork of that. It is unique, specific to Maquoketa, to this area, that will make it stand out from the rest of, you know, other, you know, options that may be in other towns.
Oh, yeah. And if you look at the layout, the way they designed it was very much as Maquoketa, with kind of a concrete, imagine painted concrete. So a blue river down the middle. You've got the green area for your countryside, and then your brown area for your city type area. We've got the limestone benches. We have the tractor. We have those things that really kind of speak to who we are. We've got the trees for Timber City, the rocks for the caves. So it really does speak to who we are, and then we would like to go ahead and do kind of a topography thing. Imagine kind of a 3 or 4-sided recognition piece where we show, here's the layout, and here is Maquoketa.
Yeah.
So people will come. Hopefully, the thought is people will come, it will draw them in, and then they can look at that and say, well, look at all these great things here in Maquoketa.
I was going to say, that's a really unique idea, where it's kind of, you know, that splash pad itself is like, oh, you know, we could go here and do that. And I say that is, you know, I mean, it makes sense now that you say it out loud, but I imagine that is something that's fairly unique there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no question. And we know there are going to be people who come in to our community that maybe haven't been here a whole lot or haven't been here at all. And we want to be able to tell that story of Maquoketa. We want to be able to sell Maquoketa. You know, the way we're doing it, I would say we're doing it correctly. And I think what you're going to find is those young families that are here are more likely to stay because they have those types of amenities that they appreciate. But it also makes us that much more appealing to the next generation, that generation that's moved away. And boy, you know what? As we get older, it becomes more appealing to move back to our hometown, good schools, safe streets, those types of things. This gives them one more reason to come back. So we know that we need to continue to backfill. We know that our working force is aging. So we need things like this so that we can draw in those younger families.
No, absolutely. And then with the, you know, thinking some with how warm some of these summer days have gotten, I imagine a splash pad would be quite a draw for honestly for anyone, but especially for those younger families that are looking for activities to have their kids, you know, go out on some of those days, or like you said, after school and everything.
Oh yeah, so yeah, no question about it. Like I said, the middle schoolers, I just know they're going to come over and play and have fun because we have them. I mean, many of them come over after school and they come and hop in the pool. So
I was going to say, and you had mentioned that there was already, that on paper, but it's more so just putting it into kind of practice and seeing, laying out, and mapping out, you know, in the area exactly where everything will be. And you said that is happening or is expected to happen soon.
Yep, this Friday.
Okay,
we'll lay it. Yeah, lay it all out.
Okay.
And then we also, as you lay that out, one of the questions that's come up, well, what about a pool? We had a pool before. We need a pool. Pools are cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. I can give you a list of things I would love to have. Some are realistic, some are not.
Yeah.
So when you look at, we've talked about Monticello, we've talked about DeWitt. Those are projects that were in the $3.5 million range. Okay, that's fine. Flash forward to today, you're probably in the $6 to $7 million range.
Wow.
Okay, the money has to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. The tax base cannot absorb that much. And then on an ongoing basis, as far as what it costs to operate, your park and rec budget, well, your rec budget would literally double overnight. So you would be looking at another $225,000 is what you're going to put in on an annual basis just for operations. That isn't to replace pumps. That isn't to replace filters, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to have a pool too. Okay. What's realistic financially? Now, could it happen? It could.
Yeah.
And here's how. Somebody comes forward and says, you know what? I won the lottery. I won a $6 million pool. And you know what? I'm going to endow it to the tune of $6 million. So that way, this pool is going to be taken care of from now till the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible? Yeah, it's possible. Is it likely? No. No, not at all. But for that reason, as we plan a splash pad, we take a look and say, well, what's next? What could happen in the future? Because the last thing you'd want is those things that are not likely, all of a sudden they happen and you don't have the land for it. You didn't plan for it. So we'll take a look at that too and say, okay, what if? What if we were to add a pool at some point in time? What if we had a $12 million gift that, you know, somebody wanted, you know, wanted to see that happen? How would that lay out within what we have now?
Mm-hmm. No, I say, I think that's definitely good to, you know, map out and make sure that everything, and that's already happened this Friday, which is, you know, definitely good to see that the wheels are already starting to turn on that.
Oh, yeah.
As we get closer to that. So we do have to take a quick break here for a couple of minutes, but we will be joining back up, talking plenty more about this. We've just barely begun to scratch the surface about all the things that are happening here. So this is Scott Warren and Luke Keyes here on Just Talk. We will be continuing our conversation here on KMAQ right after we join up with Brownfield.
Cash Hog business is expected to open unchanged to higher on Tuesday. I'm John Perkins with a Brownfield market update. General call for cash hogs this morning is steady to a dollar higher, with buyers more than likely in need of some near-term supplies. The pork carcass cutout value on Monday afternoon was down 73 cents at $93.84. The estimated hog slaughter yesterday was 498,000 head. That's an increase of 48,000 on the week and more than 52,000 on the year. Box beef sharply higher yesterday, with choice of 373 at 353.70 and select beef 458 higher at 351.50. In Chicago this morning, March beans are up 3.5. March corn's 3/4 higher. March wheat in Chicago is down 0.25. Soybeans are seeing some follow-through buying from Monday, as China did buy U.S. soybeans this morning, about half of what was rumored on Monday, though. Soybeans and corn are watching weather in South America. Generally non-threatening conditions in many key growing areas for both Argentina and Brazil, with most medium-term forecasts showing rain potential for dry parts of southern Argentina. Things generally favorable overall in Brazil right now. Wheat's mixed. It's looking at mostly favorable over wintering conditions in the northern hemisphere. Export demand for U.S. wheat's becoming a question mark due to relatively high prices, and that's probably going to limit the upside. There's also position squaring ongoing ahead of next Monday's supply, demand, and production numbers. Also, a few other USDA reports out on that day as well. At the Merck, live and feeder cattle are waiting for direct business. February live's up 37 at 236.25, and April 17 higher at 236.97. March feeders are up $1.90 at 357.47. And hogs are mixed on spread trade, profit taking, and yesterday's lower close in pork. February is down 35 at 85.80, and April 7 lower at 91.42. And over in the broader market, the Dow's up about 195 points. John Perkins, Brownfield.
Water hemp, Palmer amaranth, and giant ragweed. Left undisturbed, they will become the most dangerous foes to corn plants. But in the early season, these weeds are at their weakest. Now is the time. A predator lurks. Certain herbicide attacks, unleashing full residual power before weeds have a chance to emerge. Pre or early post-application, they are hopeless against such effective chemistry. Certain herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Scott Girardi from Bernie's Heating and Cooling in Preston. Bernie's Heating and Cooling in Preston has been a Lennox dealer for many years and has been a premier Lennox dealer since 2004, offering exceptional service and installation. Joel and Scott with Bernie's Heating and Cooling offer high-efficiency Lennox furnaces and air conditioning systems and a complete line of service. If your system is 15 years old or older, now is the time to purchase your new Lennox home comfort system. Let the employees of Bernie's Heating and Cooling find just the right system for your needs. Contact Bernie's Heating and Cooling at 563-689-HEAT for a free estimate today. Lennox and Bernie's Heating and Cooling are two names you can trust. Stop at Bernie's Heating and Cooling in Preston at 203 Industrial Lane or call 689-4328 and ask for Joel or Scott. Thank you. We appreciate your business.
For over 50 years, Gino's Pizza in Preston has been delighting diners with the best pizza around. Not only is the pizza great, Gino's is a great place to make unforgettable memories with your family and friends. Enjoy your pizza on their outdoor patio and bar. Quench your summer thirst with fresh squeezed lemonade, shoot a game of pool, or play their awesome arcade games. Gino's has kickball games Tuesday nights, slow pitch softball on Thursdays, and volleyball leagues too. Hosting a party? Gino's has private party rooms with seating for up to 300 people. Gino's Pizza also has made-to-order take-and-bake pizzas that you can pick up at their drive-thru window. Gino's Pizza in Preston, the best pizza around and an experience you won't forget. Gino's Pizza on Highway 64 in Preston, open Tuesday through Thursday from 5 to 8:45, Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:45, and Sunday from 5 to 8:45. Gino's Pizza, delighting diners since 1974.
I was in absolute shock when I got the notice. I thought it was a mistake. In October, my health insurance company told me my premiums were going up $9,000 a year. $9,000! Turns out, it's because Congresswoman Marionette Miller-Meeks got her way and Republicans in Congress took away our health care tax credits. Congresswoman Marionette Miller-Meeks called a plan to protect health care tax credits unreasonable, but she found it reasonable to give billionaires another tax break. That doesn't seem fair to me. I live in Norwalk on a fixed income and can't afford to pay $9,000 more a year. And it's not just me. Health insurance is skyrocketing for over 100,000 Iowans because of Marionette Miller Meeks. Please call Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks at 202-225-6576. Tell her to vote to bring back our health care tax credits and stop raising our health care costs.
Paid for by Fairness for Iowa.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to KMAQ, and we will be continuing our conversation on this Tuesday morning with our guest for the day, Scott Warren from the Maquoketa YMCA. We were talking a bit about the splash pad and about some of the recent developments that have happened for that. Gave us a brief overview. Now we're kind of diving deeper into more of the meat and potatoes of the information that we had gotten. So a bit about kind of the process of it, about this Friday. There's going to be kind of those surveys done, kind of map out exactly where things will be, make sure you have a good idea of exactly where it's going to be on the ground. And I know you had also mentioned that $3.1 million was the goal for this, and that you're pretty much right there at $2.9. And now that's a decent amount of money for anything, but especially within the time period that you had to raise this money, that's a pretty almost $3 million, and I think it was about 8 weeks, 2 months, around there.
Yeah, matter of a few months. The community has really rallied around it. The visual, and I encourage people to kind of look at it this way. So we're at 2.9 towards the 3.1 goal. We'll be going back to council. We'll be asking their support to be able to move forward with the project. Imagine if you were on council and you said, okay, well, you've done well, but you're not there yet. Are you going to be there? So it puts us in a whole different position if we can go to council and say, we're at 3.1. Mm-hmm. We need 3.1. We're at 3.1. It's a different conversation if you're at 2.9.
Yeah.
Because there's a reality. You know what? Maybe nobody else would give. You know, maybe we've tapped every well there is to tap, and 2.9 is where we're at. And now the city has to figure out, wait, how am I going to come up with another 200,000? That's why we need your support. I mean, and this is the time to give.
Mm-hmm. I'll say, when is that meeting that you'll be going back before council?
Once we're talking March.
Okay, so there's still a couple months here to raise that last little stretch of cash there. Which
correct.
I mean, if you've raised that much, and hopefully, I would imagine it'd be not too much difficulty to get to that.
Well, and the one of the big arguments that we're making is we're going out to the Waddies and dynamic tubes and plastics, and they know their workforce, and they know their workforce for the most part, average 50-something, 60-something-year-olds, they're going to be retiring.
Mm-hmm.
They need younger workers. And when you look at what our industrial manufacturing, the people that are on the floor building products, you look at what they make, staycations are huge.
Oh, yeah.
The park system is huge. Things like a splash pad are absolutely huge because it's quality of life right here. For a whole lot of folks who, they're not hopping on a plane and going to Cancun. That's just me speaking brutally honest. You look at the median income of our population, it's a lot of working folks. Mm-hmm. It is. So what can we do for the average person? A thing like a splash pad is absolutely huge.
Yeah,
it's quality of life all day long. It's those things that will keep the people in our community and will attract more people to our community.
Yeah, and I know one thing that you had mentioned also about that cost, not only in the construction, but also in the maintenance. And I know you had given a few examples just in the difference between just a pool, that you can find in some other communities that were built earlier, and, a splash pad being made now. So what are some more kind of those, nitty-gritty details that, the average person, like myself, wouldn't really think of when it comes to the operating and managing costs of something, more traditional, I guess, like a pool versus something like a splash pad.
Yeah, with what we're building, what we're looking at, it's always interesting getting hard figures as far as what it's going to cost to operate. But anywhere from $30,000, we've heard up to $60,000 on an annual basis. So it isn't free.
Mm-hmm.
As I talk with our board, and we talk with the powers that be in this community, it's, you know what, there is a reality. There's still a cost to operating it.
Of course.
So you know what? So how do we drive more people to Dairy Queen, to City Limits, to Megas, to how do we increase those sales tax revenues through that source? How do we get people downtown to do the shopping? You know, how do we get them there so we can increase our sales tax? How do we make it such that they want to go ahead and go to the caves, and then they're going to go ahead and catch a movie, and then they're going to go to the splash pad and make it a you know, 2 days, 3 days, and stay at our hotels and generate more in our hotel motel taxes. You know, how can we generate those dollars within our community by just simply making our community more appealing? So not just the splash pad, how do we tie in the community as a whole?
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to say that's a great point as well. You know, just thinking, I forget the exact number that was given on how many people travel through specifically the Maquoketa Caves annually, but it was hundreds of thousands of people every single year. Off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly how many. But, you know, and then only a fraction of those even go to Maquoketa, let alone, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, there have been some people who said, oh, Maquoketa's a town? You know, it's a city, right? You're like just down the road. And to me, that's astonishing. I mean, obviously growing up in Jackson County, Maquoketa, of course, Maquoketa, you know, is it's right there. It's the county seat.
Mm-hmm.
But for the average person, you know, who's out and traveling into here, they probably don't know that. And if they say, oh, there's a splash pad there. Oh, and a hot summer day when you're out in the caves after you've been spelunking or just walking around the trails, going into a splash pad where you can cool down and have fun and relax, that's about as appealing as anything. So yes. I think that would mm-hmm. be, you're exactly right with that point where, you know, it's not just for the community, it's not just for the splash pad or for the city or anything. It's for everything within the city.
Yep. It's cross promotion is really what it is. And then, you know, we'll take a look. There's always that possibility that by doing that and doing the cross promotion, we can get more energy around the whole bike path coming all the way from the caves into mm-hmm. Into Maquoketa, which would be one more, I think, feather in our cap.
Yeah, absolutely. And also with the that disc golf course that's also opening up there.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. I mean, there was already interest in that, mm-hmm. you know, nationally for people that were going to be holding competitions there and interest in that. And that would be another great avenue that they can then, oh, well, after that, and again, on another warm day or just when you're wanting to mm-hmm. you know, change the scenery, go down there and enjoy that. And, oh, well, look, there's restaurants there, you know, there's shops, there's a hotel we can stay here and everything. And it really is just simply increasing the people who even pass through the city to go to one thing will be, oh, well, there's this. I didn't know. We should stop by that. And it's just, I mean, I think about the times where I go to places like that. That's oftentimes how I'll stop in is going for one thing, and then I get sidetracked, and next thing you know, it's 3 hours later. And my wallet's just a little bit lighter.
Uh-huh. Well, and you look at, I'm a huge guy on YouTube. If I'm thinking about going somewhere, I'll go on YouTube, and I'll go ahead and watch videos on it and mm-hmm. see what are the attractions, what is there to do, what should I see, what should I do while I'm there. It's one more reason for YouTubers to come to Maquoketa and really help to put us on the map and paint that picture for people so they do see it as more than just a day trip type thing.
No, absolutely. Definitely a great point there as well. And I do want to talk more about, you know, kind of splash pad and then other things kind of going on with the YMCA and just in general. But we do have to take another quick break here for Brownfield as we'll open up for a farm break there. But don't worry, we will be continuing on with plenty more information here with Scott Warren from the Maquoketa YMCA here in just a little bit. But first, here's Brownfield.
Soybeans and cattle are higher, corn and hogs are mixed. I'm John Perkins with a Brownfield Market Update. Plant your potential and harvest your reality with Stein. Turn potential into reality by planting the best genetics from Stein and leveraging the extensive knowledge of their agronomic experts. Stein has yield. Soybeans are up this morning. China did buy 336,000 tons of U.S. soybeans this morning, about half of what was rumored yesterday. Most forecasts do have rain potential for dry parts of southern Argentina. March beans are up 2.5, 1064 and a half. May is 2 higher, 1076 and a quarter. March bean meal's down 20 at 299.70. March bean oil's up 14 at 50.01. Corn is very narrowly mixed. It's monitoring South America with generally non-threatening conditions in many key growing areas. There's also generally just a lot of position squaring ahead of the USDA reports out in the 12th. March corn's a half higher at 445, May's up a half at 452 and a half. And wheat is mixed. It's looking at the mostly favorable overwintering conditions in much of the northern hemisphere. March Chicago's 1 1/4 higher at 513 and 3/4. Cotton and rice are seeing some follow-through buying. No real change to the fundamentals. This still largely looks technical. March cotton's up 97 at 65.62. May's 96 higher at 66.95. March rice is up 24.5 at 10.44.5. May's 24 higher at 10.73. Cattle are up, supported by yesterday's strength in beef and remaining optimistic about this week's direct trade. February live, 60 higher, 236.47. April's up 22 at 237.05. March feeders are 215 higher at 357.75. And hogs are mixed, mostly lower on spread trade, profit taken in yesterday's lower close in pork. February is down 37 at 85.77 and April 7 cents lower at 91.42. The Dow's higher, crude oil's weak. John Perkins, Brownfield.
This is a commercial for Pioneer Seed Corn.
100 years ago, one seed changed everything. In 1926, Pioneer revolutionized farming with the first commercial production of hybrid corn. The one that started it all, the one that still turns heads, and the one that grows the future. This year, we celebrate a century of innovation. One big milestone made possible by one moment, one farmer, 100 seasons. See how it all began at pioneer.com/100.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Drive your way with flexible dispatch. Tired of rigid schedules? Join Amhoff Trucking in Eldridge for flexible dispatch options. Flatbed or van loads and leave when you want. Honest pay you can count on. Full pay transparency with achievable, honest wages that reward your hard work. No hidden deductions or surprises. More home time. Your choice of long or short runs. Enjoy quick turnaround times to get you home sooner. Pick from long haul or short runs to fit your lifestyle. Apply online at amhoff.com now and take control of your road.